This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Oh, yes, man, you guys didn't forget that over the last 8 weeks, 9 weeks. That's great. If you would turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And as you're turning there, John Maxwell once said, every day we are either preparing or repairing. We are either preparing or repairing. March, April, May of 2020. Any of this hitting home with anybody? What did we spend the last couple months doing? Were we repairing for our lack of preparation or preparing? I don't know. Is this driving us home? I went back and I listened to my message from 2020, the first Sunday. And it talked about 2020. That means what? Focus. Excellent eyesight, 2020. Man, do you think that's coincidental that God said in 2020, I'm going to give everyone a reason to focus? And my wife and I were driving around a lot yesterday for hours, just having a good time together. And she said, what do you think God is telling people? All a different story, hard to answer, but I think he's telling us to take a look at our life and say, what are we doing with it? I mentioned a couple weeks ago or several weeks ago, what are we doing with our life? When we go to meet Jesus, what will be behind us? We said we've done this with our life. What will we have left behind? And I said, I think he's calling us to a greater focus on him. He's calling his people back to him, those that have gone distant. That poor bug. By the end of this service, I hope you had a good life. Okay? But I think he's calling those that were distant back to him. Those that are close, I think he's calling them closer. And those that don't know him, I think he's calling them to him. I believe that that's what God is doing. What is important in your life? Well, man, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't go. I can't buy. I can't spend. I can't do. I can't eat. I can't socialize. Now what's important? It may be strengthening relationships within your own household. Oh, we can't go anywhere. I had to spend time with the family. Ugh. Another week with the family. I don't know. I love spending time with my wife and my son. I think he's trying to open our eyes to what's important. And 2020 is the focus of that. So we've got to think today, are we preparing or repairing in our life? What are we doing? Because every day we're spending time doing that. Repairing or preparing for that. And as a church body, we have to remain open. We cannot be closed. Well, the building's closed. Great. What are we doing? As the body of believers, what are we doing? And I believe he's calling the church to serve others. There's that word serve again. You've got to be servants and service to others and do for others. And it's about others and it's about us serving. So let's look in Hebrews chapter 13. And that's where we'll spend most of today, actually all of today, other than one brief scripture in Matthew that we'll look at the end of service. By the way, I hope you got your praise and worship out, because we won't be singing a song at the end of service today. Okay, I realize I've sung a line or two from a song the last several weeks, but man, we've got a drummer and a bass player, and that just doesn't leave a whole lot for the melody. So we won't be singing a song at the end of service today. And I'm sorry about that, but I hope you praised and worshiped God while you had an opportunity to. There's an important lesson in that, because you may not get the opportunity to. Well, I'm going to fix it in the future. I'm going to fix it tomorrow. I'm going to praise and worship him next Sunday. Oop. What happened Sunday after service? Well, I got caught in a door and his poor little life was snuffed out. He didn't get to come back next Sunday. So we have to take advantage and praise him when we're in his presence today. By the way, in this section and in this section and in this section, man, I saw the Holy Spirit moving in his people as you were praising and worshiping, by the way. There seemed to be some freedom today in worshiping and singing. There seemed to be some joy today in that. And I love that. Well, let's read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. It says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. By the way, if you don't love your brother and sister, better get working on that. Because he says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Why? For doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. So he tells us, first of all, as the church, is your church open? Well, what is the church doing? Well, as a church, we can be the church by what? Loving one another. Now that sounds simple enough. Adam, we've heard that for years. Love one another. Do unto one another. Be good to your neighbors. Love your neighbors. Love your enemies. Well, that's because it says it over and over in the Bible. That's the basis of what we should do. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters do, and that's what the church body does. They love one another. They show hospitality towards one another, but especially to strangers. They remember prisoners as though they were in prison with them. But I found this one interesting. It says, remember the mistreated. Remember the mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. There's a lot of suffering going on out there from people that are mistreated. And for some of us, we are blessed enough to have not been a part of that growing up or in our current life or whatever. But others struggle with that, and we have to remember that. And the church says we remember them. Verse 4 goes on to say, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. Why? It says right there, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Say never. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can human beings do to me? Which is kind of interesting because a couple lines ahead, we just found out, well, they can mistreat you. That's what humans can do. They can mistreat you. The church can mistreat people. It reminds us as we read those verses, don't be greedy. Now, there's nothing wrong with having money and having more of it. God says, for those that have more and been blessed more, share it with others. So there's nothing wrong with having money. But it says, keep your lives free from the love of money. Don't be greedy for these things. And then be content with what you have. I think that's one thing that God is showing us right now as well. We've had 8 weeks away from church. Oh, I thought I didn't like it. Now I can't wait to get back to it. Be content with what you have. Be happy in the moment. I say a lot that, well, I'm not saying that Eric and I go out and eat a lot. But we go out and eat a lot, and Eric often prays for our food, and I love his prayer because he constantly thanks God for his provisions. God, thank you for our provisions. It doesn't matter if that list is 20 pages long or has two items on it. God, thank you for our provisions. The church is thankful for the provisions and thankful for what we have. Reading on in verse 7 through 14, it says, remember your leaders. Oh my. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. I'm going to read that one again because a lot of times we get curious. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by the eating of ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who observe such rituals.
We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. Now that's an interesting concept. Let me read that one more time in verse 10. And it says, we have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place. What is a sin offering? But the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. As a church body, we have to watch out for other teachings. We have to watch out for other leaders in a good way and a bad way. Meaning we have to be careful of people that come saying that they are leaders. Those that want to come and teach and preach. But we also have to watch out for those that are here teaching and preaching. Some of the people are teaching with great knowledge about their subject matter. And I think that's great. And it's biblical. But we still have to watch carefully, because there's people that can teach this out of the Bible, but when you look at their life, it does not line up with the other biblical teachings. TVs are full of pastors or leaders that fall from grace, and they have this great ministry in this area, but the rest of their life lacks the character or the moral values or the strength to do the day in and day out teaching and living of what the Bible tells us to do. Now, I believe that's why at Prayer of Faith, we have a much more practical teaching side. There's nothing wrong with the other aspects, but we focus on practical teaching. What does the Bible say about how we should live? And how can I apply that? And how can the Lord bless me for following His will? And we're going to read about that in just a minute here. Again, there's nothing wrong with other biblical principles. I'm just saying, for those that teach on that but live away from that, I've met some awfully mean pastors before. I knew one prominent pastor in this town, and he came face to face with me and had no idea who I was, had no idea that I also was a pastor. And you would be shocked at one of the largest churches here in town what that leader said to me and told me in the language he used in discussing business with me. I'm saying that we can lead here and fall so far behind here in our day-to-day living, how we speak to one another. If we can't get through our day-to-day lifestyle and conversations and actions lined up with God's Word, then please, we might as well close the doors to the church, because our church is not healthy. So as we talk about, is your church open? Is it open and healthy? It has to be healthy and line up with God's Word. And there's so many different things, because if it doesn't line up, then the rest doesn't matter, except to the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes. All those people said, on the outside I look like this, and I profess, and I speak, and I do. But back here in the darkness on the inside, it's all crappy looking. Oh, can I say that? I can say that. It's crappy looking. And I've said many times, I am the same person here as I am at home, as I am at work, and as I am out to play. And that person is not perfect, but I'm the same in all those places. That's who I am. I was out of town a couple of weeks ago, San Antonio, Texas, believe it or not. I spent a couple of days down there, and I told my wife that I went and met the owner of a company we were doing some business with. And had a cookout at his house, and lots of food, and lots of meat, and lots of beer. She said, how many beers did you drink? I said, let me ask you, how many do you think? She said, none. I said, that's right. Why? She said, because you don't drink. I said, that's right.
And if I don't drink here, I don't drink there. I'm not in to impress anybody. Let me throw down a couple beers. That's who I am. I don't drink. I just don't happen to like the taste of any alcohol. That's my thing. It tastes horrible to me. That's why I don't drink. Okay? If you drink, I'm not saying there's anything wrong unless you do it to excess. But I don't. And I don't do it whether I'm at home or whether I'm out with some friends or whether I'm out of town with business guests. Oh, I don't drink. Why? That's me. So our character has to line up. When we open the doors to the church, we have to be the same and consistent on what we do with God's Word. God told us the outward appearance is important to man, but it's what's on the inside that's important to me. So what is on the inside when we open the doors to our church is what God is concerned about and what He wants to see. Verse 15. It says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. I just mentioned, hey guys, there's no song at the end of service. I hope you took the opportunity to offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And it says, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. Oh, and by the way, it says, do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Have confidence in your leaders. Again, we're talking about leaders. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. About 9 people just cringed. Why? Why do we have to have confidence in our leaders and submit to their authority? Because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. You see, Eric and I have to give a different account when we come before Jesus as pastors of the church. And we have to give an account of you all as well. Y'all want to write your little biography and just hand it in to me and I'll read what you said about yourself? And it says, pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. And I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Offer a sacrifice of praise openly. Openly, it says. Professing His name. How often when we have our mobile church and we're just out and about and we're talking to people, do we have a sacrifice of praise? Proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. It says, do good and share with others. As the church, each one of us has the opportunity to do good and share with one another. Now, you know me. Do good and share with others. Why? Why do we have to do that? Well, it tells us right after that. And it tells us why? Because it's pleasing to God. Do good and share with others, for this is pleasing to God with such sacrifices. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. Why? Again, we have to watch over you. We're overseers. We have to give an account for ourselves and for you. Let me read that line once more. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. For that would be of no benefit to you. Help us out. Make our work a joy. Make our work a joy by having confidence in us. By submitting to our authority as overseers of the church. Now verse 20. Says, now may the God of peace. Remember last week we were talking about the verse that said, man, and then you will have peace.
He's the God of peace. And it says, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for in fact I have written to you quite briefly. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all the Lord's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with you all. Allow the God of peace to equip you. Equip me for what? We talked a couple weeks ago. That's a lot of times why we're so afraid. God, use me as your instrument. Oh, not that instrument, Lord. Oh, please don't send me there. Lord, could you pick a different path for me? Not that path. So this is crucial, though. Allow the God of peace to equip you for what? Or with what? With everything good. For what? For doing His will. Now this goes back to, as I talked about, teachers and leaders and different people. They may be doing good, and it's not a bad thing that they do, but if they're not doing God's will, that's where it gets a little wonky. Now let me flip over, just stay where you are, but let me flip over to Matthew. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, verse 14 through 16, says, you are the light of the world. First of all, church, can I just tell you that that verse is very specific? And it doesn't say, you could be the light of the world. Keep on working hard at it, you could be. No, it says you are. And we have to remember that we are the light of the world. We are the church. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. They cannot keep us quiet. They cannot close the church. We are the church. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. When we walk into a place, we carry a light or darkness with us. And we carry a light because we are the light of the world. Gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. As we talking about serving one another and being the church, each one of you is a church, and each one of you have people that God is telling you, check on them, look out for them, see how they're doing. Because you're the church. When we do our own work and don't submit to Him, even though it's pleasing to us, and even though it may be a good work, it's not His work. Meaning He didn't call us to do it. It may be His work, and the Bible says do this, and we're doing it. But if it's not His plan for you, and He did not tell you to do it, you're on a slippery slope there. More than likely, it's not pleasing to Him if we're doing our own plan, even if it's a good work. Now remember last week I talked about Saul. Saul was doing His work. Now, it wasn't a good work at all, and it wasn't God's work. But he said, I'm doing my work. I'm doing my job, which I know is the right thing for me to do. That's what his mind was telling him. Until he had the experience on the road to Damascus. And God said, I've got a new plan for you. Eric and I, as we were, and Andrew, as we were doing our Facebook Live, and Adonijah, as he joined us the last several weeks there, we had a little dry erase board up here. That's just in case our zipper was down or something we didn't know. And Eric would say, pull your zipper up, Adam. And I go, yes, okay. So, you know, praise God. And all I'm saying is, God says, on that dry erase board, I'm going to wipe out your plan. So every now and then you see me look down. I want to make sure my cross is hanging straight down, because at one point it's like this or over here, or my collar, something was funky. And Eric said, fix it. Okay. God says, I'm going to wipe out the plan that you have for yourself. Now, I know some of us are a little more stubborn, and we get the dry erase board, and we get a Marks a Lot black magic marker, permanent, and we think, there, nobody's changing my plan, it's up there permanently. Trust me, God's got his own version of Mr. Clean that he says, it's gone. Here's my plan. It's probably not pleasing to him when we're doing our own plan. When we submit to his plan, then it's pleasing to him. Remember in the beginning, I said, every day we are either what? We are either repairing or preparing. I said in different order there, but we're either repairing or preparing. And I can't help but think, if we're working our plan, we spend our time repairing. If we are working his plan, we spend our time preparing. God has given me this. I've got to prepare because I know what he told me to do. When I'm doing my own plan and then God talks to me, I got to go back and repair and rebuild and restore and apologize and ask for forgiveness and say, I'm sorry. But when we're doing his plan, we're preparing ahead of time. What will I say? What will I do? How will I act? I have to prepare for this meeting. This guy's house and his cookout. Great, okay, don't drink. Why? Because I don't. I don't have to be a Pharisee and put on these fancy clothes and walk in and go, yes, I'll have, you know, whatever, drink and all that stuff. I don't have to pretend to be somebody I'm not. The church is not closed. No matter what access you have to the doors. Meaning if they're locked up tighter than snot, the church is not closed. Trust me. I said last week, our comfort quilters, many of you here and others, were making masks. Well over 800. Well over 800. Masks were given and brought to the church by people so that we could hand them out so people could have them. Church members have checked on one another. I know at Prayer of Faith that church is open. Universally, it's open. But let me ask each one of you today, is your church open to others? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today as we just continue to look at and face and encounter everything that's going on in this world. God, we've got to remember it's not just Oklahoma City or Oklahoma. It's not just the United States. Lord, this is global. Lives are being lost and impacted. People are looking to the church in a whole new way, saying, what should we do? Lord, I pray today that we transition from a place of repairing to preparing. That we're proactive rather than reactive. That we take this time and say, Lord, what is important to me? Or to you, for me? That we allow our focus to be adjusted and our lens to be changed if necessary. Lord, I believe you are calling your people back to you, those that have walked away or distanced themselves from you. Lord, those that just vacillate back and forth between closeness and distance from you as it fits their situation. I believe you're calling them back to you. And I believe you're calling the lost of this world to the church. And Lord, I pray today that our church is open. As each one of us is the church, that we are open to others. That we look for opportunities to serve others where we may not normally look. Lord, I pray today that your church is awakened and alive and serving others. And while doing that, they're able to draw others to you. As Matthew says, so that everybody in the room can have light through our presence, because we are the light of the world. For none of us, it's not a maybe, or for all of us, it's not a maybe. It says, you are the light of the world. Lord, for those that struggle to understand that that means they are the light. And they are your ambassadors. And they are worthy to tell others about you. And to reflect your love and your light, no matter what they've gone through. Lord, that we're reminded of those that are mistreated, as though we are being mistreated ourselves. Lord, through this time that we have an opportunity to reflect as individuals, as a church body, as a church universal, to say, what are you calling us to do? That we find a greater purpose in serving you. So that those we serve know that the church is open. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.